Rethymno, Part 2, Iraclio and Kenosis by Alex Berger. So, you know that crazy phenomenon that occurs when you're about one halfway through writing something that's difficult to save and as a result has not been saved? Well, it struck last night as I was writing this blog update. Unfortunately, the insane thunderstorm that was raging outside knocked out the power, not once, but twice. It was also kind enough to wait until I'd gotten a day or two into the update each time. Oh well, it's not raining at the moment, and I'm going to give it another go. Wish me luck. Rethymno is beautiful. Of the big three, Chania, Rethymno, and Iraclio, I would say Rethymno takes the cake, though Chania is definitely a not-too-distant second. The difference lies in the city's layout. Chania's old city sits inside the Venetian walls but lacks a real castle, and is much more cramped. Rethymno lacks the city walls but still has an intact castle, which is in impressive shape and crowns the tip of the peninsula. Between the new city and the castle, the old city spreads out along the peninsula in a beautiful mixture of small, cramped, vine-covered alleyways and slightly larger cobblestone streets lined by shops, cafes, and restaurants. One of the biggest differences between Greece and the States is the cafe culture. Because the whole town shuts down from 2 to 4 hours a day, a lot of people head to the cafes. It's like our Starbucks, but different in that everyone actually hangs out, drinks their coffee, and socializes instead of running off to their next appointment, bolstered by their caffeine high. The cafes also take the place of bars in some of the mid-sized towns, resulting in a much more laid-back bar environment. One not especially geared towards socializing or mixing with strangers, but one great for a group out for the evening, looking for a place to hang out and relax. After our first night in the crappy hostel, we decided to relocate to a hotel. The hotel we found cost us each €3 more. For the slight price increase, we got a private room with a shower, a TV, and we were one street back from the beach. Using that as a base camp, we spent our first full day exploring the town, wandering up and down to the castle ruins and walking along the castle walls. The interior of the castle is mostly an open field. However, the castle walls are in great shape and have been restored. It's a beautiful sight looking out from the walls down over the jagged rocks and over the crystal clear water at the empty horizon. From the castle, we explored the city in greater depth, wandering aimlessly through the tiny streets and taking in their beauty and spirit. We eventually found a place to stop for dinner and tried sampling some local cuisine, which was delicious. Our second day in Rethymno, we spent exploring the city. Before setting out in the Crete's interior, we picked a small city called Spili, located in the heart of the mountains, and caught a bus around noon. The town ended up being much closer than we expected, and after a 30-minute bus ride across the countryside, we found ourselves in a quaint little town that sat at the base of a large cloud-cloaked mountain. The town wrapped along the road, the main road, and overlooked a large, fertile valley dotted with orange trees and olive groves. The weather was cold, and we were forced to dodge a few brief drizzles. However, the town in general was fun in a quiet, simple sort of way. After exploring the town, we had about 45 minutes to kill before our bus left from in front of one of the local cafenions. We found a beautiful little restaurant cloaked in vines with hanging gourds in its rafters and ordered an odd beef stew meal to split. As we ate our snacks, several kittens showed up and kept us entertained until it was time to leave. We arrived back in Rethymno, explored the city a bit more by night, then turned in. The next morning we woke up, found some food, and made our way to the bus station. The day was grumpy and rainy. Once at the bus station, we had a 45-minute wait until the next bus left. That wait stretched into an hour and a half as the bus was late. A bit irritably and soggily, we finally got moving and arrived in Iraclio an hour and a half later. By then it was already about 3:30, raining and getting dark. We walked around a bit, found most of the budget housing closed, and eventually found a hotel with a room for €20 each. From there we set out for food and to explore the city a bit. Sadly, Iraclio is a mess. The city might have had a lot to offer 80 years ago, but the war apparently destroyed a lot of its historic neighborhoods. What's left is a mostly run-down and unimpressive city. The city itself is a large port town with a lot of abandoned areas and ugly streets. A few of the main streets are interesting, but even those are just busy commercial zones. After exploring a bit, we eventually found a restaurant that showed some promise. Because of the rain and the delayed bus, we had not managed to eat much and we were starving. The place we found was a fun little locals hangout with a 2-page wooden menu written in Greek. Instead of taking orders, the servers left a pad of paper on the table where we could jot down what we wanted. The prices were great and the portions beautifully presented. Instead of ordering just one thing, it was set up so you could order several, then mix and match. Eager to try something new between the two of us, we ordered cheese stuffed peppers, fried cod, snails, and Greek olives. When the food arrived, we set to it and were delighted by the food's quality. Each plate had a distinctly different taste and everything was well prepared. The snails were a new thing for both of us. I'd had them once before, but they were cooked differently. Full, we set off to find an internet cafe and quickly got reined in at one where the power proceeded to go out twice. Frustrated, we decided to brave the rain and head to a local cafe for a drink. Then, tired of trying to wait out the downpour, we made a wet dash back to our hostel, where we called it a night. Today, we woke up early and caught a bus to Knossos, the largest and best-preserved Minoan palace. Also, the fabled home to the Minotaur and its labyrinth. The ruins are impressive, if fairly plain. It's obvious in the cement reconstructions and pathways that they have been tuned to deal with a lot of tourist traffic, and as a result, have a polished feel to them. Despite this, they have a certain spirit, one reinforced by the rebuilt sections of the palace and reproductions of the frescoes and mosaics, which were excavated from the ruins. We spent a good hour exploring the ruins before catching a bus back to the city and heading to the archaeological museum. Unfortunately, like so many others, the museum is under renovation, and all they have up is a temporary exhibit. Despite being very limited, it still had most of the main paintings and a number of impressive artifacts, which left us feeling satisfied. From there, we booked our ferry tickets and will leave tonight at 8:30 for an overnight ferry to Athens. Until then, we'll be exploring the city, trying to find a few books to tide us over on the long, uncomfortable ferry ride, and probably locating some food. Athens bound. Bye for now. This has been a post on virtualwayfarer.com. Thank you for listening.